Well, this is Pastor Woodson Moore coming to you from Fairton Christian Center in Fairton, New Jersey. It is so good, such a wonderful honor to be able to speak into your life. And I trust that there's something that the Lord will give me to say today that's going to encourage you and strengthen you to be able to face the adversities that possibly you will see. Maybe some of you are dealing with some really hard times or some things that's almost gut-wrenching that you're having to deal with, and that there's something that can be said that's going to encourage you and strengthen you to be able to face the day, face the enemy, conquer the day, conquer the enemy, and come out the other side of this thing a victorious person with the praises of God on your lips and in your heart. Yesterday at the conclusion of the program, we read a portion of Psalm 103. And let's go back. This is a great psalm. And it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Right? That's a key. You know, you follow up with Philippians 4:8, which says, "Finally, brethren, think on these things, things that are true, things that are just, things that are honest, things that are pure, things that are lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." These are all positive things. And so what you do is as you meditate upon the positive things, and there's lots of negative things that we can meditate on. You know, sometimes I'm sitting at a stoplight, and I can look across kind of on the other side of the person going the other way that's sitting there, and they are just talking away. And they're either talking on a phone in the car, or they are talking to the Lord in prayer, or they are talking to themselves. And many times, I think they're just talking to themselves, and they are probably giving somebody who's been giving them grief a real piece of their mind right there in the car. They're unloading. They're thinking about all the negative things, the rotten things that's been done to them. You don't have to live very long before you have some rotten things done to you. I was like 3 years old, and I loved to play with other kids, but there really wasn't a lot of kids in my neighborhood. And this one day, these two boys came through. They were about my age, and I said to them, I said, "Stop and play with me. Play with me." And he said, "Oh, we're going someplace." I said, "Oh, stop and play." And I said, "No, we're going." I said, "Listen, my mom has some candy in the house. I'll give you some candy if you will stop and play with me." And they said, "Oh, okay." Now, candy was a real rarity in my house as a boy. We hardly ever had it. But I remember we had these, like, they were like, looked like big chocolate gumdrops. And they were covered with chocolate, but on the inside was this white, very sugary type filling. And there was two of them left in the house. And I went in and I got those two gumdrops. I brought them out. I gave them to those boys so they would play with me. And what'd they do? They ate them and left. And boy, I couldn't get to this day. You have to understand, that happened 69 years ago. And I have not forgotten the betrayal that I felt at that time. And I was only three. And that's just the first of multiple betrayals that have taken place in my life. Now, if I want to sit around and meditate on those, I can get really depressed. I used to like to get depressed, believe it or not. I never wanted to live on the East Coast. I always wanted to live probably in Wyoming or someplace out west. And what happened was I married my wife, who was from Millville. We were living in Missouri, but then I had to join the Army in 68, and I did, and they shipped me to Vietnam, and while I'm in Vietnam, I get this letter that says, "Everything's okay, we're all moved back, I'm living with Mom and Dad now, and the car's being fixed." They put our car on the back of a U-Haul truck and didn't have it tethered down right, and it swung back and forth and damaged both front fenders. And at the time, I said, "It really doesn't make any difference. I'm probably going to die over here anyway." And my wife had just simply come home because she was lonely out there in Missouri all by herself. Got a nice teaching job in the Millville system. And so when I get back from Vietnam and I have a month's leave, I come spend it here. And it was the only place where I could kind of apply for a teaching job because I was a teacher. So I did. And I ultimately wound up getting a teaching position at Memorial in Millville, which was a wonderful time. I enjoyed it. I taught there for 10 years. But there were times because my parents, my family, everything that I'd grown up with, I used to love to hunt quail and a variety of things, and it was just so different around here. I just get feeling sorry for myself. And I had a whole plan to it. We have a big window in our house that faced west, and I had a rocking chair that I had refinished whenever we first got married. And I pulled that rocking chair over by the radiator. We had these big hot water radiators in the house that heats it. I put a pillow on top of the radiator, put my feet on top of the radiator, and I'd stare out that window and just feel sorry for myself because I had to live in a place I didn't want to live and just feel so sorry for me. And then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, there was a whole system to it. Pull the chair over, put the pillow down, open the window, look west, feel sorry. And then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And one day I started feeling sorry for me, and I pulled the chair over, put the pillow down, and started gazing out west, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, "What you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm feeling sorry for myself." He said, "Why are you doing that? You have no reason to feel sorry for yourself. I kept you alive in Vietnam. I brought you to a place where you were being used and being respected. I've given you a ministry. I've given you a wonderful family. I've given you good things. Why are you feeling sorry for yourself?" I said, "Well, I guess I just want to." And the Lord said, "Stop it." And that was the last time I ever went through my feeling sorry for myself like that. Tempted, still tempted from time to time. But how do you overcome that? You think about good things. You think about the blessings. You know the old hymn, "Count your blessings. Name them one by one." Do it. Focus on the positive things and do exactly what Psalm 103, first verse says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Thank him. He's given you life. Thank him. He's given you promises of health. He's given you promises of prosperity. He's given you promises of good things. He says, my plans for you are for good and not for evil." But we're afraid of him because sometimes I don't think we really believe. Do we really believe that God is to the point that we will submit our life to him, submit our everyday decision-making to his word and to his truth? Will we come into obedience to what he has commanded us to do? If we will, then his protection will be in place for us when the enemy tries to take us down. If we will be obedient, if you will follow my commands, if you will do what I've asked. See, there's a lot of people say, "Well, God promised this, and it hasn't come to pass in my life." Well, remember, you got to be obedient to what he asks you to do, because some of those promises are conditional. You know, when I realize that when I have the privilege, the honor of being with a family for a funeral, it's probably one of those rare opportunities in a person's life to actually be brought to a place of thinking about things like, what was it that was in that body that's laying there in that casket that left? What was that? Where'd it go? What is death? What is life? What happens? Where did we come from? What are the answers to life's great questions? What's my purpose? Why am I here? What is my reason for living? And the reason is that we were made in the image of God. We were made to bring glory and honor to him. We were made to be a thankful people. We were made to be filled with joy and peace and freedom from guilt. And when we give our heart and our life to Jesus, he comes in and he cleanses us. He forgives us. He took all that stuff on him at the cross. The old hymn says, "At the cross, where I first saw the light." That light of God eradicates the filth and the dirtiness that has held us in bondage. And you need to remember what it was like before and what it's like now, because Jesus is freedom.